I was asked a question very gently the other day. That question was, why do we have the sermon? It's a better question than why do we have to have the sermon, I have to say. It's one of those questions that many people have spent many hours and weeks and months and years toiling over the answer to. But I think that it can be drawn together in just a few words. And those are the words that used to appear. They were screwed on to the pulpit at college. And it said, we would see Jesus. Just four words, we would see Jesus. And that to me really sums up why we have the sermon. It's about seeing Jesus. So, if we want to expand a little bit on that, I think the sermon is an attempt for us to engage with Scripture, to engage with the Bible readings that we hear. I hope that when we hear the sermon, it's something that makes us think, something that engages our brains as well as our souls and our hearts. And I also hope that the sermon is something which helps us in the week ahead, so that whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're mixing with people in different circumstances, that the Bible readings and the sermon give us something to encourage us in the week ahead and in the way in which we work with other people and in the way in which we treat other people. It gives us a little insight into how we can live our lives. So in answer to why do we have the sermon, that's what I hope is a succinct, brief answer as to why we have the sermon. Other answers are available, most definitely, and much longer ones at that. But it was brought home to me last week when Helen was preaching at the very early morning service. And she said to us, Jesus Christ was crucified, dead and buried. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is alive. Alleluia. I thought, well, that's very good. That's really good, Helen. Because what she was doing and what she was saying to us was reminding us of the centrality of the Easter story and those two facts. They are central core beliefs of Christians then and now. In our creed, our statement of belief, which we'll say together later on, both of them are there, and both of them are central to our faith, at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus Christ was crucified, dead and buried. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is alive. Alleluia. A sermon in itself, we might say. But believing in someone or something is an interesting thing. Take, for example, the laws of physics. Some are specially shaped and engineered pieces of metal. And put them together. Think of those pieces of metal and put them together. You add an engine, you add a pilot, and we can fly. And I and countless others of us, you included, believe that. Believe that if we take those bits of metal, pull them together in a special way, add an engine and a pilot, that we can fly in the air. We believe it so much that we're willing to get on board an aircraft and to fly ourselves. We're doing it because we believe that we can. And I'm sure of you that many of you can think of your own examples of things that you believe in, because we know that it's been tried, we know that it's been tested. And the writer of our gospel had his eyes fixed on believing one thing. He said so in our reading. What he's written for a purpose. He says, just after our reading ends, I've written all these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why John wrote as he did. Everything that he wrote down, and I guess all the other New Testament authors as well would say amen to that, that John wrote so that we could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But when we first meet the disciples gathered together after the resurrection, you wouldn't think that they'd had good news, the best news, and not fake news. What it means is that Jesus, who died so our sins could be forgiven, has defeated death. No less than that. That's the news that the disciples have witnessed for themselves. Jesus has opened the way to eternal life. Jesus has fundamentally changed what we believe about life and death. He assures us, he shows us that life with God goes on forever. And we can never fail to get far away from John's Gospel in chapter 3 and verse 16, where it's all about God's love. And God says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But no, despite this news that they've had, despite the fact that they know that Jesus is risen from the dead, because they've been told by witnesses, John has those disciples gather together, as he puts it, for fear of the Jews, those opponents of Jesus, those who've engineered Jesus' death. They were frightened, most certainly. There'd been Judas' betrayal. There's been Peter denying Jesus. I don't know him. There'd been James and John and their mother wanting to know who'd be the greatest. And the disciples, in many ways, had slunk away, despondent, depressed, disillusioned. What had it all come to? And then Jesus appears. Jesus appears to the disciples despite the locked door, and they see him. He's physically real. He's truly risen from the dead. And these things were written so that we may believe. And it's at this point in John that Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit simply by breathing on them. And they inspire. They breathe in the Holy Spirit. He empowers them for all that lies ahead. The forgiveness of sins is at the center of that. And remember what that's like, to know that our sins are forgiven. But Thomas, one of their colleagues, isn't with them. Will he believe when they tell him that they've met Jesus? No, he doesn't believe. It's only when Jesus appears again that Thomas does believe, and he finds the words to say as he recognizes that Jesus is God. He says, "My Lord and my God." He recognizes Jesus. Yes, Thomas, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen, says Jesus. And so we fast forward to our first reading that Margaret read to us. Not many weeks ahead and only a few pages in the Bible, Jesus has now ascended into heaven. And in Luke's account, it's written in Acts that the Holy Spirit has come, and what a difference we see in the disciples. What a difference the resurrection makes to the disciples. Here we have a description of an early Christian community, sharing, living together. But now those who believe are of one heart and soul. They're together and united. They sound far more confident in what they believe and how they live it out. Their prayer for boldness has been answered. They have the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're convinced of what they believe, and it shows in how they live their lives. Their concern and their caring for each other, their care and their concern for the community. And they were busy witnessing. They were telling other people about Jesus. Are these the same people? These the same people who were gathered together for fear of the Jews, and yet just a few weeks later, the difference that the resurrection makes has them sharing so boldly, so confidently, being the Christians that they're called to be. They were speaking out with great power. The apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. And so in our two readings, we have an encapsulation of the start of the spread of Christianity. The apostles are sent as the Father had sent Jesus, but also we find an apt description of the Christian life. And in there we find three things, three important parts of what it means to be a Christian. We find out how important it is as Christians that we do believe in the resurrection, that we believe in Jesus' power to save. And as well as believing, we also see how the disciples belong, how they come together. They belong to the company of Christ's followers, and so do we. We believe, we belong. But also, they're behaving as Christians in what they think, in what they say, in their mission, in their devotion to one another. It's a true community that's developed. And so those three areas, believing, belonging, behaving, that's the impact that the resurrection has on the disciples. That's the impact that the resurrection should have on us. And not just here in church. It's wonderful to gather together, that we're free to gather together. But that's not the half of it. What it means is that we're called on to go out and live out our faith in the world, to show that we're people who believe, that we're people who belong to Jesus, and that we behave as people who belong to Jesus. So what difference does the resurrection make? That's our theme this morning. That's the theme of this sermon. Well, the difference, I hope, that the resurrection makes for each one of us is a difference that's profound, that's radical and life-changing. A difference that is life receiving from God and life giving to others.